accused of mortgage fraud. New York's Attorney General Letitia James indicted by a federal grand jury. On Wall Street, the Dow 138 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, our question today, after life is over, what then? Have you given that consideration? Now listen, I don't say that you're going to die tomorrow, that I will. We don't know that. Our life is in the hand of God. God has, as the old cliche goes, he has our number. And when our, and as that same saying goes, when our number's up, we're out of here. And but one of the things that many do not realize is that age is not the prerequisite for death. Understand what I'm saying. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, I recall when I was traveling on the road in full-time evangelism, I would go into some churches, old country churches, and most of the old country churches had a cemetery right there on the church property, the church cemetery. And I always found it fascinating to walk through the cemetery and read the epitaphs on the tombstones. And as I did that on one occasion, there was a person there that was 106 years old when he died. There was another tombstone, and the epitaph showed that was a child of just 8 weeks old at the time that he died. So many today, as you said just a moment ago, Dr. Davis, many younger people today do not realize that their life could be called tomorrow. And God is the one that's in control. But for the Christian, we're talking about after death, after this life is over for the believer, what then? It is certainly not soul sleep. When we die, our body goes in the grave, and the spirit being, the spirit man, the real me, the real you, will immediately go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Scripture. There's no limbo, there's no purgatory, there's no waiting. Yet for the believer, according to the Scripture, and I stated it earlier, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord is, in fact, talking about the fact that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus describes death as, for the believer, as being asleep. So we will live for eternity. And so, ladies and gentlemen, just what happens immediately following our death? What takes place with that person that dies in the Lord? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But as we talk about it, Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, at death our body is buried, it's not burned. You heard me say that earlier. Now, there are a lot of people that may be offended by that, and if it offends you, so be it. But in the Scripture, Old Testament, every time someone dies, it says, he died and was buried. he died and was buried. A lot of people today are short-circuiting the process. Even when Joseph died and they were moving out of Egypt, he wanted his bone body to be taken so that his bones were not left in Egypt, but taken with him. So as we speak on that subject today, immediately following death is the disposal of the body, and it's by burying. Every nation that's ever had the gospel proclaimed will bury the body. Every nation that's never had the gospel proclaimed would be what you'd call a heathen nation, will burn the body rather than disposing of it. We're created in the image of God. God sees us as having value, as having worth. But ladies and gentlemen, time death takes place with the Christian to be present with the Lord. But there's something that takes place at that interval, time we're present with the Lord. Dr. Phelps, the scripture says that we're going to give an account for every deed done to the body, whether it be good or bad. Turn to Romans 14 and read that for us. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Dr. Davis, if you would, find 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Dr. Davis, Romans 14, 10. And we're going to read those two verses, those two texts, and talk about it for just a moment. Dr. Phelps, if you have that.
Romans 14, 10, all of the verse, I'll read that. It says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ."
What is the judgment seat of Christ?
Judgment seat of Christ is for only for believing Christians.
Yes.
And there will be a time when we'll give account to the Lord for the deeds that we have done in our body, whether good or bad. Some will receive rewards because they have served the Lord in the right manner. Others will lose rewards. It is not a time when we'll be judged as to our future, our eternal destiny.
That's right.
But it's only for to ascertain that I will be rewarded or not.
Absolutely. It's where rewards, crowns, as it's called, yeah, will be given to the saint, the child of God. And it'll be based on the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or bad. And the deeds, speaking about the works, what we've done after salvation in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Davis, there's another text that validates what was just said in the Romans text. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:10?
Amen. It said pretty much the same thing. Verse 10, "For we must," that's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
All, that covers all men, women, boys, and girls, mm-hmm, whether you like it or not, it's telling you right here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, okay, in this particular context, we are speaking in specific to the believers.
That's right.
Because when you look at the judgment seat of Christ, that's like the Bema seat of judgment that was during the Olympic Games, where the contestants appeared to receive the crowns or the rewards or whatever it were for whatever game they were competing in. So that's the same thing that's going to happen for the believers. He said that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So again, getting back to us, how we're living in this life, be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you think. All of these things for a believer, especially after you have come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, there's also a verse over in the book of Hebrews, I think that's chapter 10, say that after you come into the knowledge, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. You're not going to have a leg to stand on. What are you going to be able to tell the Lord the reason why you continue to sin after you came into the knowledge of Christ Jesus and you didn't repent? Mm-hmm. I mean, he leaves us room so that we won't have to, because he tells us to judge ourselves so that we won't fall into condemnation with the world.
That's right.
So then, in other words, if you check your record and keep it, that's what the old people used to tell us. Son, get your business fixed.
That's right.
Keep your record straight with God. That way, when you stand before him, you don't have to answer for things that might make you ashamed. because you're going to get rewarded for the good, and you're just going to lose the rewards for all the bad.
Right. In fact, in the Romans 6 text, it talks about the fact that we're not going to sin because of grace abounding. That we're not going to say, well, I can sin because I know God's grace is going to cover that.
Amen.
But we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, after death for the saint of God, for the Christian, immediately following the death of the Christian, there will be the Bema Seat judgment, where we'll be adjudicated based on all that we've done for Christ after salvation. Our adjudication is not whether or not we'll be saved, but whether or not we've done works in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. James talks about the fact, if you're saved, you have faith, show it, reveal it by your works. Yes, sir.
I would like to make a point that I've discovered in reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and other portions of the scriptures. After we meet the Lord in the air, we'll assemble for a time of rewards or loss of rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ. It's that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to state it again now, that the reason for the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether or not the Christian's eternal destiny is heaven or hell, or to punish believers for their sins. That's already been stated. But instead, believers will give account for their works. Now, let me say this, and this is very important. Some people are going to receive rewards. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, here's where I believe it's qualified.
Yes.
It's this. As believers, our labor or our work in the Spirit, I believe, will mean that it will be the sort of works that God can reward.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
There's so much misbehavior on the part of many Christians today. Many people are ignoring the third person of the Trinity, mm-hmm. and that's the Spirit of God.
Yes.
We're simply ignoring the Spirit of God. So that means that the work that we do in the flesh will not be spared. It will not remain. It will be burned by fire.
Burned up, absolutely. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for your radio show. We appreciate you and all the brothers there with you. And Dr. Youngblood, there was a man, a Louisiana state trooper called Howard Pittman. Howard Pittman had a near-death experience. We had a aneurysm, and he died, and he went to heaven, and he talked about his whole experience. And the scriptures say, out of the body, present with the Lord, Yeshua. So when we're out of the body, we're going to be present with God. That's scriptural. But he talked about that he witnessed for God. He did help people, help children, preach the good news. He did all these things, but he was stood outside the gates of heaven. God says, you did it all for the God of self. For self. The God of self. So what his main testimony was in this near-death experience was that when we do something, we need to make sure we are in the will of God. We're doing it scripturally, but doing it according to God's will, what God wants us to do. You know, it says, without a vision, my people perish. So we need to be in constant prayer, knowing what the will of God is for our lives, and when God gives us the vision, to go with that vision and perform that vision. That's where God leads us in the vision that he gives for us.
Absolutely.
So we need to make sure we're in the will of God. But I encourage everybody to research Howard Pittman's near-death experience. I've seen him in person at a conference, and the Spirit of God just came all over us so strongly. It was absolutely amazing. It was very, very powerful. So he, a really incredible testimony by Howard Pittman, Louisiana State Trooper.
Yes, let me
Louisiana State Trooper.
Let me put a little footnote to that, Kevin. One of the things that you find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through about verse 30, is very, very clear that's in the final days, some will stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done great works in your name, etc., etc. And then in verse 23, Jesus says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. There are a lot of people that think that they're doing good works, but they have not. They've left off the first major event, and that is salvation, biblical salvation. And then the works follow, and the works that follow should be the works that please the Lord. Now, the second thing that I want to say, I'm very, very careful, and I'm not countering what you've said, but I'm very, very careful to, for those that say they've been to heaven and come back, they've been to hell and they've come back. There's no evidence in Scripture that that is a biblical event. You don't go to hell and God says, well, I'm going to send you back so you can be a witness for me. I've heard some say that, one or two in particular. I've heard those say, well, I went to heaven and God told me, well, you got to go back now. You've seen what heaven is like. You got to go back and tell everybody what heaven is like so they'll come to heaven also. We don't have to have any death experience of going to heaven and being sent back. God does not operate on that basis. There's no evidence of it in Scripture. Now, if the person says, when he was in that, quote, near-death experience, that he had a real dream or an experience in that nightmare, whatever you want to call it, that God showed him this, God showed him that, and he came out of that surgery or he came out of that sedation and determined that, listen, I need to change my life because God spoke to me. I can buy that. But I can't buy this. Somebody says, I went to heaven, I went to hell, and then I was sent back or I came back. So I want that to be a little parenthetical footnote, because what I say, what I embrace, is simply what's found in the Scripture. Dr. Phelps, you have something to add to that?
Yes, in Luke chapter 16, there's the story that Jesus spoke about Lazarus, who died and was with went to be with the Lord. And it's in this passage, I'll not try to relate all of it, but one of the things that was stated in there was the possibility of someone going back and warning his brothers that they not come
right
to this place of torment. And that was not granted.
That's right.
So that confirms what you just said.
Absolutely. And in that text, if I could add a footnote to that, God told the rich man that he died and gone to hell. And that rich man, and he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he hadn't said yes to Jesus. So also Lazarus was the poor man, but he didn't go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because of accepting Jesus. But you find, Dr. Phelps, in the latter portion of that unit of thought, that the rich man is warned, if they will not listen to the preachers and the gospel, they're not going to believe it, even if somebody comes back from the dead.
Exactly.
So that's the bottom line.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got news for you. Somebody did come back from the dead, Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
And when he came, they still didn't believe him.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And that's where we stand today.
Absolutely.
We still, I mean, the words of Scripture also are together. They go together with what you just got finished saying about the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. how he reveals things to us. And if we only take heed to what's written and the way that God leads us by his Spirit, then we won't end up in these areas where some of these other people are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that I want to add before we take our next caller, I want to add that we're talking about now after life is over for the Christian. There is to be absent the body to be present with the Lord. There's the fact that we have the Bema Seat judgment. We're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ to be adjudicated on what we've done for the Lord after salvation to receive our crowns, our rewards that will be given. Some might say, well, what do you do with those crowns, rewards? According to Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, we'll be standing, kneeling before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, casting our crowns before his
Amen.
Feet,
Amen.
As we sing in that song. Yes.
Amen. That's what you just said is so important for us to realize. We get to heaven, we're not going to be glorying in ourselves.
That's right.
We're going to be rejoicing and giving praise and honor and exalting our Savior.
Absolutely. That's the key to it. And next, there's one other thing that I'll touch on briefly, and we'll take our next caller. Then according to the Scripture, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, 8, and 9, every child of God, every Christian, would have been either brought before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ through death or through the rapture of the church. And according to the Scripture, the next thing on the calendar of God for the child of God, as we're before the Lord Jesus Christ, will be seated around the marriage supper of the Lamb table with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the consummation of the marriage with Christ and his bride, the church of the Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. And then following that marriage supper of the Lamb, ladies and gentlemen, we, according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, we will return with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next thing on the calendar of God, we'll return with the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and then go into that place called heaven. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hello, Brother Davis. How are you, gentlemen? Can you address where Paul was, I think it's in Corinthians, whenever he talks about being out of the body and his experience, and then the same thing with John in Revelations, how he was taken out of the body and into a, because Paul goes on and say that he was forbidden to speak of what he saw. He can speak about some of it, and of course, John goes into a pretty good amount of detail as well. And both of those gentlemen were alive whenever they had this occurrence happen to them, and how that relates to
being on this side of heaven. If I could jump in, Jim, for the sake of time, both of those, they were not caught up bodily. The Apostle Paul says he was caught up into the third heaven, but it was in the vision that he had and that God had shown him. In fact, all of the revelation that the Apostle Paul had was given to him by revelation from God in person because he was caught up in that vision. The Apostle John, the same thing is true with his vision. He was on the Isle of Patmos, the scripture says, and he was caught up to the very throne room of God and was shown all that will take place for the future. Everything we find in the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John penned them because of what God had given him in that vision. When he was caught up in that vision, he was on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day, the scripture says. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, would you have anything to add to that?
Yes, so what you're talking about there is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul explained that God showed him some great things about what we call the truth, new revelation.
That's right.
And that's why we can rely upon the New Testament scriptures. Paul was told things that were not known before, especially about the church.
That's right.
But let me read just a couple of verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up in the third heaven." And so this tells us about his experience that was true of Daniel, Ezekiel, John, and he says he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. And I believe he's talking about that experience when God taught him and he learned great truths to share with us.
Absolutely.
Amen.
One of the things that comes to mind, Jim, is what Dr. Phelps had just talked about. There's the fact that you go to the book of Daniel. Some of the things Daniel was shown, God told him to seal that until the last days. There were things that the Apostle Paul was given in a vision as he was caught up into the third heaven, as he called it, that what we have today in the progressive revelation of God to man, the Apostle Paul saw. That's the reason we have 14 New Testament books out of the 27 that the Apostle Paul penned, because the revelation that God had given him was, as I call it, fresh from the mouth of God. But it wasn't because he died and was buried, and or because he died and his body then was caught up there in the third heaven. That's not what the scripture is saying there. But I'm thankful for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your insight, and for your question today.
Well,
God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Davis, you had something to say?
Dr. Youngblood, here's what the Apostle John had to say in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. I'm just going to read that, well, two verses, verses 1 and 2. He said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Mm-hmm. Now God called him in the spirit. That's a totally different thing from the description that the brother said that yes. The trooper or whoever that yes. was. I don't know what his experience might have been. And going back to what you said, I don't want to dispute that. I don't want to make it sound. We're not arguing about that.
Well, one of the things that you're speaking of there in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verse 1 in particular, come up hither, the window was open. That is a picture there of the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
From that point forward, the church is not mentioned until Revelation, the 19th chapter.
Amen.
Four, five, six, and following, you go 6 through 18 is the days of the tribulation. And the church is not mentioned there because the church is raptured out. Now, it's also emblematic of the fact that there's John the Apostle, and you find he's caught up before the Lord. In fact, in that vision, he was shown everything that's going to take place in the future tense. I believe we have, do we have a call on the line? I believe we lost Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just after. Jose, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Be a good topic for next week, brother. For next week, will be a nice topic for you guys to talk about. There's a lot of newborn Christians. Well, I wonder if they're newborn Christians turning back to Catholicism to worship idols, worship the Pope, and all that nonsense. And these are so-called leaders, pastors, going back to Catholicism. I would like you guys to have a discussion next week about that, because this is insanity. Because I used to be a Catholic, and I was lost like the devil. Don't tell me that you know the truth, and you're going to go back to bow down to idols done by men. Are you kidding me? Anyway, that's I want to hear that next week, guys. God bless you. Thank you very much. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, Jose. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take the last few moments we have on the broadcast today. Life after death for the lost person. What happens to the lost person? Life after death. Luke chapter 16 talks about the lost person. He is in that place called hell, and as a result, he cries out that the Lord would send Lazarus to just put a drop of water on the tongue because he is tormented in the flames. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, hell was created for Satan and all of his followers. And so for the person that's never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, hell awaits you. There needs to be a plan that you follow, something that needs to be done. So, Dr. Phelps, I'm going to very quickly say this, and then you and Dr. Davis jump in if you like for the wrap-up. A person that's lost today, you need to first of all recognize you're lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to repent. If a person says, Lord, I changed my mind, changed my heart, I turn from the world to you, Lord Jesus, then request. The scripture is very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, the Lord hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It takes the request to be saved. And then receiving Christ as Savior, and then rejoicing for knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It takes that volitional choice to be saved. Dr. Phelps, take about 10 seconds and wrap us up on that.
How can anyone be saved and have eternal life? You must, as Dr. Youngblood just said, realize your need of the Savior.
That's right.
All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Remember, God has provided a way of salvation, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can request to be saved.
Absolutely. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Look forward to meeting you next time.